1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Safety and well-being of guests and associates are top priority. Temporarily closing was the right thing to do, and when timing is right, the movie experience will return. Updates at MarcusTheaters.com.
Time to talk music news with a guy who knows it's safer at home. Like your governor, right, Gary?
She does.
Yep.
She does. So.
Gary Graff, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
What's
good.
The state of Michigan right now?
It's shaped like a mitten. No, that's not what you're asking.
See headlines about riots and stuff.
We haven't had riots. There have been protests in the state capitol, three of them, including one yesterday that more or less got rained out. But we are still under...
A riot got rained out. That doesn't sound very riot-y to me.
Nah. We wouldn't call it Riot Fest, I guess. But the state is under stay-at-home orders until the 28th right now of May. Nobody knows what the next move will be yet. But we've been gradually reopening. The auto plants go back online on Monday. Outdoor construction started again this weekend, and a number of other things. You can do retail pickup. In terms of live entertainment, of course, nothing.
Nothing
going on.
That's going to be probably the last thing to come back, don't you think?
It will be, and we keep seeing it. I mean, this week we had further indications. First of all, Michael Rapino, Live Nation CEO, in talking to shareholders, because of course their stock is taking a beating, but he said he doesn't foresee full-scale concert business returning until the third quarter of 2021.
So more cancellations then, right?
Oh, there's a ton of those. We'll get to those in a minute, but you had his comments come out, and then this group called the Entertainment Safety Association, which is a nonprofit trade group, they put out a 29-page document with guidelines about reopening, and actually a very good and thoughtful, set of guidelines. A lot of things I hadn't even thought about what these venues are going to have to do to make things safe in terms of both seating and restrooms, concessions. Somewhere along the line in there, it says, "Oh yeah, no mosh pits or crowd surfing until there's a vaccine."
Well, do you think those will be permanent changes or?
I don't know about permit. I don't see. I mean, the biggest thing all the venues and concerts are going to face, and this also goes for movie theaters and stage theater musicals and stuff, are going to be reduced capacity houses. And then within the reduced capacity houses, how you stagger the seating.
Yeah, how do you keep people in their seat?
It's interesting because there's going to be less revenue from ticket sales, but greater cost because you're going to need more ushering and security and people to police these restrictions. There was supposed to be a concert tonight in Arkansas, which was going to be the first socially distant concert at a club in Fort Smith. That got called off, pretty much by the government. Arkansas's stay-at-home doesn't expire until Monday, so here they were 3 days in advance trying to do this. Also, after the stay-at-home, there's going to be a 50-person limit for live events, and this venue was looking to sell 290 tickets through Ticketmaster, even. So basically, the governor on Thursday, governor of Arkansas, issued a cease and desist, and then the alcohol commission showed up yesterday afternoon and removed their license.
So wow.
They have applied for a permit to do it on Monday, though, which is when it'll be legal. The same artist, though, this guy named Travis McCready, who's a Southern rock artist, is slated to perform tomorrow, Saturday, in Pineville, Missouri, where the governor has opened everything up, pretty much, and has said concerts can go on. So it's an outdoor venue they're selling about 400 tickets, promise they'll do social distancing, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. What are some of the cancellations? You said there are a bunch of big cancellations.
Yeah, scroll down to those. Guns N' Roses has canceled their European tour. Earlier this year, they canceled South America, have not said what they're going to do about the summer American tour, but I think we know. Slipknot has canceled everything. North America, UK, Knotfest at Sea, all gone. The Black Keys have canceled their summer tour of North America. Billie Eilish has postponed everything. She had postponed her spring dates. Now everything is off. Dragon Force has rescheduled to 2021. Bob Dylan has canceled everything for 2020. The Kiss Cruise has pushed back from October this year to October 2021. Same with Maren Morris delaying her tour. And maybe the biggest news, the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles has canceled its entire summer season. That's the first time in 98 years.
Wow.
They're not having a summer season. So,
how many dates would that usually be?
I think that was like in 30-odd dates. Because, you know, there's a lot of, as you can guess, in the Los Angeles area, there's a lot of these summer amphitheaters.
Didn't they used to broadcast
those? They used to be the dominant one, and now they were just one of several, but they still have a substantial season.
Didn't they used to have a show, like, live from the Hollywood Bowl? Wasn't that a thing in the, like, 60s?
Oh, yeah. The Beatles recorded a live album.
Okay.
But you're going to, and that's where Tom Petty, had, I believe, had his last ever concert. But you're going to see, and you're going to see tons of other amphitheaters do the same thing. They just haven't made the announcements yet. I think a lot of them are holding out hope against hope, but the more we see these reports come out, like the Live Nation or the Entertainment Safety Association, and then, you know, I've seen the CDC guidelines that haven't come out yet, but I've seen a copy of those, and, you know, it's extensive, it's onerous, it's expensive, so... And, you know, all the evidence says it's still not safe to put even a reduced group of people of that size. And, you know, football is going to face this, come fall. You know, there's so much that remains unknown that I think, you know, most people are deciding that the better course is just call it off and let's see what next year looks like.
Yeah, with NASCAR going without people in the crowd this weekend and golf starting up next weekend with no crowds on hand, all that stuff. Yeah. So
we will have baseball, I think, at some point in the summer with no people. But we can see it on ESPN with no people now from Taiwan and Korea.
Yeah.
But even if the okays and approvals are given to do all these things, people are still... How many people are just going to still say, eh?
Yeah, it's the next step.
See how it goes.
Your audience is skittish about going back, and given the economics, you know, do they have the money? They certainly won't have the money to attend as many shows as they used to, and so then what are you going to do? Are the ticket prices going to come down? They may have to.
These are all things that are going to have to noodle themselves out as we come across them.
It's a big, long food chain.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with this. We always start showbiz news with births and deaths. So this week, Little Richard passed away.
Yeah, that was shortly after, you know, the day after we spoke last Saturday. You know, one obviously part of the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll. You know, the guy was just, he was one of the founding fathers and was a riot. I mean, still one of my favorite interviews of all time just because he goes full on Little Richard. And, you know, and everything right after he says everything, it's like, shut up.
You talked to him a number of times, though.
Yeah. He was always a ball. Not surprisingly, sales of his catalog went up 2,228%.
Always does. Wow.
In the week, always does. Number one stream song was Tutti Frutti, which streamed 412.
Good Golly, Miss Molly.
Good Golly, Miss Molly was number two. Long Tall Sally. was number three.
The Beatles, he was a huge inspiration to the Beatles, right?
Yeah, well, they recorded his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that helped them get played in America before some of their own material.
I remember the first time I saw him on TV, I thought, this isn't real.
I know.
This is not real. This is a comedy, is what I thought.
No, talk about larger than life, but like when I said, he goes full on Little Richard, that's what he was. I mean, he was hysterical.
How old was Little Richard?
What was it, 78?
He did a Jordan commercial, he, Spike Lee, and Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Where Mars Blackman wished for something, and Little Richard was the genie.
Yeah.
He wished he could fly.
Oh, this guy had a great sense of humor. He was 87, not 78, I transposed. But he was, he got it. You know, he knew who he was. He knew what Little Richard was. And he played it, and he played it to the hilt, and people loved it. One of the reasons we haven't seen much of him in the better part of a decade is he just couldn't be Little Richard anymore. you know, he didn't have the stamina or the energy.
Well, he was sick, right? I mean,
he was sick for many years.
Yeah.
Even before then, it had been a while before we saw him in any significant way. And he's, you know, but I think when he knew he couldn't be the Little Richard that he was, you know, he knew it was time to stop. He didn't make an announcement or anything. He just stopped doing it.
Melissa Etheridge's son passed away this week.
Yeah, son Beckett passed away, you know, victim of, what do you call it?
Opioid overdose.
Opioid, thank you.
Yeah.
Looking for that word. Victim of opioid addiction. You know, there's a lot of people are raising their eyebrows because, of course, his father, by sperm donation, was David Crosby, no stranger to drug issues himself. So people are asking the quasi-tasteless question of whether it's hereditary or not. We don't know, you know, but it's a shame. I mean, you know, she's, you know, it was a great story when it happened that she and Julie Cypher could have these kids, and, you know, by all reports, everything was going well in their lives. So.
Didn't David Crosby buy the house? Like, didn't they share a yard or something like that? Was that
at one point?
Okay.
When Melissa and Julie were married, they did. Yeah, not now, but you know, but he still was apparently very much a part of these kids' lives.
Yeah.
And she has another set of children with her last wife, as well. A boy, I think, a boy and a girl.
So she's got a boy and a girl and a boy and a girl.
Right.
Okay. Have you seen the big interview this week with Ian Anderson?
I have. That was interesting. Of course, he saved a bombshell that he is suffering with COPD, which he says is, you know, he acquired from too many years of smoke on stage. He did come out, though, the day after the interview, because at one point during the interview with Dan Rather, Ian Anderson said, I've got this thing and I'm doing the best I can with it, but obviously my days are numbered, and people freaked out.
But Dan Rather said to him, all of our days are numbered.
Right.
So he kind of put that in perspective.
Right, but then Ian Anderson came out the next day and said what he meant was his days as a singer were numbered, which, you know, fine, okay, yeah, they are. And all of our days are numbered there, whether we sing well or not. But but no, the point is taken. Yeah, he was talking about, obviously, you know, he's in his late 60s, he's 73, and in August, and so, you know, how much longer does he really have?
I was very hard on Mr. Anderson yesterday before I watched that on this show. I was saying, Jethro Tull, flute playing, blah, blah, blah. He is a lovely man.
He can be a lovely man.
Oh,
He can also be, you know, he has that side of his personality that is not so lovely, but that's usually when provoked.
Okay.
For the most part, though, I've always found him to be lovely and a great, you know, a great interview, you know, a great conversant, very smart.
He's very thoughtful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you listen to those Jethro Tull lyrics, and
okay,
there's a lot of meat there.
So on his worst days, he's not even really up in the Chuck Berry zone or anything?
He can be, and he used to be back in his younger days. There were loads of tales about you know, diva-ish behavior.
I thought the funniest thing that he said was, you know, we all grew up listening to this. It was some guy who played some guitarist, and he said, and everybody wanted to play like him. And then Eric Clapton came along, and everybody wanted to play like him. And the first time I heard Eric Clapton, I said, I'm going to play the flute because I can never play a guitar like that.
That's one of his go-to quotes.
It's a great line.
And he'll also, one of the things, you know, he will talk about, you know, when you do ask him, at least before the COPD, How long will you go? He used to say, I'm just watching Mick Jagger. When he starts looking stupid, that's when I quit. He's a couple years younger than Mick.
How'd you like to have Ed Sheeran as your music teacher?
That sounds like it was fun. I mean, you know, it's everybody's, all sorts of entertainers are finding different things to do while in quarantine. So Ed Sheeran Zoom bombed a class that's taught by one of his friends in England, in South London, in a primary school. So these are young kids who, you know, Ed Sheeran's probably, you know, they're Elvis in a way. So he apparently, you know, Zoom bombed this show, showed him how to play perfect on the guitar, talked to the class. That would have been a hoot.
Doesn't he have ketchup to sell?
An instant elementary school master class.
They still doing Ed Sheeran ketchup over there at Heinz?
As far as I know.
Why would you stop?
I've never seen a bottle.
Me either.
But, yeah. You know, it might not be, you know, out here in the great Midwest.
Yeah.
It might be on the coast or even in Europe.
All right, we're just about out of time. Where do you want to finish today, Gary?
We will finish up with, this is, today, Alice Cooper has dropped a new song called Don't Give Up. It's about the pandemic. It was actually another song. It had a different set of lyrics that he was working on, and then he decided, you know what, I want to do a pandemic song. So about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he had solicited fans to send videos, and he put the lyrics for the song online, and he said, hold up a sign with one word from the video. And so you'll see the video today. And it is a, and it's like a globe with Alice and his band playing. And they said they got like 20,000 fan submissions, and it looks like they have 10,000 of them in this video.
Wow.
I mean, it's just so, it's a fun song, good rocking song. And so that's out today. And a couple of quick things. If you want to have a good time this weekend, 1 o'clock today on Queen's YouTube, they're going to rebroadcast the Freddie Mercury tribute concert from 1992. Cast of thousands, Metallica, Elton John, David Bowie, you name it, are part of that. That's 1 o'clock today on Queen's YouTube. Tonight at 6 p.m., Motley Crue on their Twitter page is hosting a watch party of The Dirt. With the band members and some of the actors from the film.
All right. Very good.
A lot of fun stuff to do.
Even though we're shut in, there's still stuff to watch.
Even more than before.
All right, Gary.
All right, we will talk next week.
At last, a world that caters to shut-ins. Thanks, Gary.
Take it easy, guys.